Good morning, good morning, Grace Church Truro. It's great to be with you this morning. Great to be together, and a particular warm welcome to you if you're joining us for the first time. My name is Matt, I'm one of the leaders at Grace Church, and I just want to extend a real warm welcome to you today. We're going to spend some time in God's Word and lifting our eyes to Jesus, who we believe is with us and for us and loves us. What a year this has been so far. 2020 was tough, and for many of you, 2021, you're thinking it's going to be a bit easier, and actually you found yourself harder pressed even than last year. And I'm things are a little bit different here today, different aspect, having to record slightly differently because all my kids were at home from school, and it's an added pressure, but it's not nearly as much of a pressure, I know, as for some of you out there, particularly if you're working on the front line of the health services or teaching or in social work or involved maybe in food distribution. The pressures on you are particularly acute, not just from the daily work itself and the potential exposure that you have, but also just in all of the risks that that carries for you and for your loved ones. And the fact that you're carrying on working in the face of all of that, I do salute you, and I am praying for you. Now, we don't know quite what toll all of this is going to have on the mental health and physical health, or the trauma that people will have gone through. We don't quite know what the toll is going to be in our society very much yet. But we do know that coming out of this, it's going to leave its mark. And the very real question is, where are we going to turn in the face of that? Where are we going to turn to at times where we are under pressure? And I've been reading some reports this week that have been indicating that it's particularly in relation to those working in health services anyway, that for many they've been turning to alcohol and have been suffering from severe anxiety and post-traumatic stress disorder, and even considering suicide. And I just want to take this moment to offer an alternative, that rather than turning to alcohol or to suicide, if you find yourself in a desperate situation, then please do get in touch, because maybe actually for you, getting in touch with the church is the last thing that you want to do. But I just want to say, we believe in a God who is compassion, who is love, and who is grace, and who does meet with us in our hour of need. And so if that's you, if you're finding yourself in a dire situation, then please do reach out, and I will assure you, you will find a loving response. So we're going to be in the book of 1 Peter. We're in that book this term, and we're reading a letter from Peter that's written to a group of believers who are under pressure and who are going through trials of all kinds of different sorts. They're being isolated, they're being left out, they're being marginalized, they're receiving hostility from their friends and neighbors because of their faith. And more than that, some of them are even on the receiving end of abuse. Those of them who are slaves are being abused by their masters. And Peter writes a letter to them to encourage them and to strengthen them in their faith and in their hope in Jesus. And he himself is probably writing from Rome. And these believers, he's writing this letter to these believers who are gathered in churches that we would classify as being now in modern day Turkey. And because he's writing from Rome, he's one exile writing to other exiles. He himself is an exile. And so he's not writing hypothetically or ideologically from the comfort of his ivory towers in Jerusalem. He's out there too. He's living what he's writing. And last week we heard brilliantly from Jem about how trials serve to test our faith. They prove it. They find it to be genuine. And rather than those times of trial being times which serve to push us away from God, they're actually moments where we can run to him and find that they become precious times of growth and intimacy with Jesus. That we have a living hope, and that we have an inheritance in him which is being kept for us. As the words of Peter that we read last week, we have an inheritance that is being kept for us. And more than that, we ourselves are being kept for that inheritance. So our inheritance is being kept for us, and we're being kept for our inheritance by God's power. And so although we don't see Jesus face to face, we love him and are filled with joy as we obtain and move towards the outcome of our faith, our final salvation where we'll see him face to face. And so we pick up today's passage, which is all about that salvation and how Peter looks back on what the Old Testament prophets saw and how that encourages us today. And resilience is the title of our series. And resilience is defined as the capacity to recover quickly from difficulties, or toughness. And so Peter is going to get seriously practical in this letter about how we live in the light of all that God has done. But he wants to do that through a particular view of the world, God's view of the world. And so he wants to, just in this moment, put a lens of God's view of human history and events and circumstances over our eyes, because it's only from his perspective that we really get to see things as they are. Everything else is kind of like just blurred vision. And this actually in turn helps to bring order to the chaos in our lives and build our resilience. And so as we look at this passage today, that is certainly my prayer for us, that we will build resilience, that this moment that we have together now would help us to have the capacity to recover quickly from difficulties, not just actually for ourselves, but so that we be able to help those around us as well. Now, we know that Jesus has promised never to leave us or forsake us. And we know that he is a foundation in our lives that can never be taken or shaken, and from whose love we can never be separated. So just as we come to this passage, I want to just pray for us, and then we will read the passage that we're looking at today together. So let's pray. Father, we just want to come to you now. We thank you for these words written by Peter nearly 2,000 years ago. And we pray that as we read them together and consider them together, that you would build our resilience, that you would make us able to recover quickly from different circumstances and trials in our lives. I pray that right now you would minister to us by your Holy Spirit. You would come and meet with us in your word. And we pray that that you would do a work in us to strengthen us now, to encourage us now, and to give us everything that we need today in your name. Amen. So we're in the letter of 1 Peter. We're in chapter 1, starting at verse 10. Let's read what Peter wrote for us today. Peter writes, "Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves but you in the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look." So concerning this salvation, Peter writes, this salvation we now have and the grace that is ours in Jesus. He says the prophets searched and inquired carefully. They wanted to know how God was going to fulfill his purpose and bring the Saviour, the Messiah, to bring about his salvation. And Peter's telling us that they really did study. They really did spend their lives reading through the scriptures for clues, looking carefully, forensically, to try to work it all out, trying to hear from the Holy Spirit what he was saying about it all. And they did predict a huge amount about Jesus's life, his suffering, and the glories to come after. And I just want to show you this. It's from something called the Infographic Bible, which puts different aspects of the Bible story into infographics, funnily enough. I just want to show you this page here, which is a page that's titled Jesus Prophecies in the Gospels. And so you're not going to be able to see this very, very well at all, but it's purely for illustration purposes, because over on in this column on this side here, we've got 152 Old Testament prophecies that speak about Jesus, going back to between something like 1200 to 1400 years before his birth. And then on this side, we've got the fulfillment of those prophecies within the pages of the New Testament. I'll just sort of scroll up and down a bit so you can just sort of take that in at bird's eye view, as it were. So there's 152 prophecies from the Old Testament that have been extracted and the fulfillment of which have been shown in the New Testament, just in the Gospels, just in the four Gospel stories. Now, to me, that is absolutely staggering. That's a staggering amount of prophecy. And it's one of the things that actually gives real weight and credibility to the gospel message as Jesus fulfills these prophecies in his life from like hundreds of years before. And it's very much at least from 400 years before his life, because the Old Testament stops 400 years before the New Testament starts. There's this 400-year period of silence. And so one of the things that really helps me in my faith as I grapple with that is that even if Jesus in his humanity, if he was just a human, if he tried to set out to fulfill all of those Old Testament prophecies and he'd gone through the Old Testament carefully and gone, right, I'm gonna fulfill all of these in my life, he wouldn't have been able to, because some of the prophecies relate to where he was born or how he died. And these are things that just simply wouldn't have been in his control. So what did the prophets discover? What is it that Peter is trying to communicate to us in this passage? Well, there's two things, I think. Firstly, is a pattern, and secondly, a purpose. So firstly, a pattern. They predicted the suffering and subsequent glory for Jesus. And the pattern for Jesus is the pattern for us, that in this life we do experience suffering, but there is a glory that awaits us too. And there's three things that I just want to be really clear on about suffering at this stage. Firstly, when we suffer, it doesn't mean that Jesus has abandoned us or that he is no longer in control, as if. You know, that wouldn't sit with his promise to never leave us or forsake us. So when we suffer, it doesn't mean that Jesus abandoned us. And secondly, suffering is not some kind of payment for glory. It's not that if we're going to have glory, then we have to pay for it now through suffering, though some do experience less suffering than others in their lives and some experience more. But this is not some sort of transaction. Suffering is not a payment for glory. Do you see what I mean? Thirdly, suffering doesn't mean that we're at odds with Jesus in our lives. It doesn't mean that our life's out of step. Christians aren't promised a pain-free life. It's actually simply a sign of our fellowship with the one who suffered for us, Jesus himself. But it's also a sign that we will follow in his footsteps, because Jesus suffered and was glorified. So too, we, as we suffer, we can be assured also of glory to come after our suffering. And that fits with what we've already seen in the previous section of verses 3-9. Now we are grieved by trials and suffering, but one day glory will be revealed. And the second thing that the prophets discovered was a purpose. These prophets searched and scoured to try to find out what God was going to do. And as they searched, Peter says, it was revealed to them that what they had heard was not for themselves, but rather to serve us, to minister to us, to speak to us. Peter says it was revealed to them, a revelation, something God has made known that otherwise would not have been made known. It was like a peek into what he was doing. It was revealed to them by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of Christ, as he writes there, revealed all these things to them in advance. They predicted what was going to happen, so that when we look at what was predicted and what actually happened, we are totally amazed, we are strengthened and emboldened. Now, there's a bit of a total mind spin in here, so I just want to sort of prepare you for this a little bit, because what this means is that God spoke through the prophets and then Jesus lived it out. What this means for us is that not only is Jesus the one that the prophets spoke about, but because he is the Spirit of Christ, he's the one who spoke through the prophets. I'll just say that again so you can come to terms with it. Not only is Jesus the one that the prophets spoke about, but because he is the Spirit of Christ, he's also the one who spoke through the prophets. It's God telling us what God is going to do and then doing it. And knowing that is just, I find, so helpful, because immediately we're plugged into Jesus's lordship over the whole of history, such that he can fashion events to his own purpose. I said earlier that if he was a mere human, there are many aspects to his life and the fulfillment of all those prophecies that would have been totally out of his control. But as Lord of history and in his divinity, he's able to pull the whole thing together. And that gives us great comfort. Because as we look at where we are now and the future that goes into the, well, the unknown really, as far as we're concerned, we can safely say that Jesus has it in hand. He was the one who spoke to the prophets, and they spoke to us through what they wrote down, and it's there for us now to read, and we can go, right, that's what they said they were going to do, and this is what Jesus did, and the two things marry. And actually, it was Jesus who spoke to them to tell us what he was going to do later on. So too now, when Jesus tells us what he's going to do in the future, we can also be assured that that is going to come to pass. Jesus has it in hand. The gospel message that we believe announces that these prophecies have found their fulfillment in Jesus and the establishment of his church. And like the prophecies before, it's a message from God announced through people. So when we hear the gospel, we're not hearing man's words to us, but rather God's word through man. The assurance is that he's shown us that he can tell us what he's going to do and then do it. And so as we look forward from now, we can read what he said about the future and be assured that he's going to do that too. I think that's a little bit clearer than how I just explained it. And as this is worked out in our lives, it's the stuff that angels who live in the presence of God are desperate to get a peek into. They want to see how it's all going to work out. So let's get a little bit practical at this point in the letter and just ask the question, what can we do to help us build gospel resilience in our lives? There's two things that I just want to bring to us as we come into land now. Firstly, we can ask God, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, to help us to understand the whole Bible story better. For us to get more and more steeped in the richness of his word. In John 5:39, Jesus uses the same word for searching as Peter uses here in this passage when he says to the Jewish people gathered around him that they're searching the scriptures because they think that in them they're going to get eternal life. But Jesus says, actually the scriptures all point to him. Jesus says, you're looking for eternal life, but actually in the scriptures, but all these scriptures point to me. They had searched but had missed the point. And we can do that too. But then in Luke 24:45, it says that Jesus opened the disciples' minds to understand the scriptures. I would have loved to have been there at that moment. But my prayer for us, and it's my prayer for I pray for myself, is that God would open our minds to understand the scriptures. But in order for that to happen, we also need to be engaging with the scriptures. We need to be reading, or if you use an audio Bible, then we need to be listening to it. So I just want to ask a quick question at this point, because, and this is pointed at me before anyone else, because it's been a source of my own personal conviction in preparing this message this morning. The question is this: do we drink deeper from social media or from God's word? Do you spend more time scrolling than reading? Do you spend more time sipping from lots of sources rather than drinking deeply from the real source? As I say, it's a question I'm asking, a question that God has been asking me and convicting me on as I've been preparing this message. Proverbs 13:14 says, "The teaching of the wise is a fountain of life, that one may turn away from the snares of death." Now, there's not much teaching of the wise in on social media. There's a lot of very quick sound bites. But the teaching of the wise is a fountain of life that one may turn away from the snares of death, says Proverbs. And who is wiser than Jesus to learn from? And if you haven't seen already, from tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock, Monday to Friday, on our Facebook group, we're going to start reading through the Gospel of Luke. One chapter at a time, followed by a quick prayer. And if you have got the time to join in with that, You can join in at that time, or you can go through it later in the day. The recording is going to be on the Facebook group. But in 4.5 weeks' time, we'll have gone through the entire account of Jesus's life as recorded by Luke and his teaching as well. So why not join in with that? If you don't have a regular Bible habit, why not plug into that over these next 4.5 weeks or so? And the second thing that I think Peter's words here encourage us to do is to stand firm. Peter has caught us up in the trajectory of God's word and the things that have been spoken. And we know from the previous passage that God himself is the one who is keeping us. And sometimes in our lives as believers, progress can look like not conceding ground rather than taking new ground. It can look like not conceding ground that we've already won. And, you know, at a time like this, I really do feel that that taking a stand is something that we just have to do, making a stand in faith. So I think Peter would say to us, you know, don't shipwreck your faith on the shores of uncertainty. Make a stand of trust. Take a stand of faith in Christ. We can say to God together, I don't fully understand what's going on right now, but I trust you, Jesus, because of who you are, because you are the Lord of history, the author of creation, the sustainer of everything. Because of that, your hands are certainly big enough to hold me. And so we can say that to Jesus today. We can say, Lord, would you just hold me in your hands? I'm going to take a stand of faith. I'm going to stand firm. I'm going to commit myself to read your word and get just soak in that and allow you to speak to me and hold me and keep me, just like you promised in this passage. And from that standpoint, we're then ready to love him and to serve him and to live for him through all the trials and difficulties that come our way. Why don't we just take a moment to pray and close together. Father, we just pray that you would open our minds to your word in these days. Help us to see the wonder of it. Help us to see the magnificence of it. Help us to stand firm in faith and in trust of you. And I pray that this morning for all those who are struggling, please would you draw close to them by your Holy Spirit. I pray that you would just come and presence yourself right now, Lord Jesus. I pray that you would give strength to those who are weary. And Lord, that's me today. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would strengthen me. I pray that you would strengthen each one of us. We ask for your strength today. Give us today our daily bread, is what you invited us to pray. And so, Lord, we're looking to you to give us the strength that we need for today, the sustenance that we need for today. And Lord, as we go on from here, Father, pray that morning by morning, you would reach out to us, you would reach into us and give us all that we need. I pray for those dear ones who are working in the health service, in the front line, teaching, social work or food delivery. God, I just pray wherever they are today, Lord, would you just minister to them right now. Thank you that you're the Lord of history. Thank you that in you everything is sustained and holds together. And I thank you that holding together applies to our lives too. So God, we just submit ourselves to you. We ask you to be with us in your name and for your glory. Amen. Amen. That's the end of our time on this stream. If you're a regular at Grace Church, we're going to head over to our Facebook group and through there you can join. We're going to our Zoom group, our Grace Church prayer meeting Zoom group, which is accessible through the Facebook group if you don't know how to get onto there by now. We're going to head over there and spend some time sharing communion, catching up with one another. And if you're not part of that, then it'd be great to see you again here next week. We'd love for you to join in again. God bless you and see you soon.